B-Pod Studios.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Good morning. We are the Toucher and Rich Radio Program. Tom Fair Tire Studios. You can give us a call at 617-779-0985. And you can watch us on Twitch. Twitch.tv or the Twitch app. Follow 98.5 The Sports Hub. Hope everyone had a lovely weekend.
Oh, it was fun.
You go to the parade?
I attempted to. I ended up going down towards kind of the Castle Island area. So my whole plan was that I was going to drive around where the parade was going to end and wait for it to come to us. And the traffic was just so insane. And they shut down all the streets. So what we ended up doing is we ended up kind of parking our car over near Castle Island and walking towards where the end of it was going to be. And along the way, we saw such awesome filth that it was truly awe-inspiring, to be quite honest. As a matter of fact, I posted a picture on the outskirts of the parade route. They had put some porta-potties up there. And then there was one that looked like something from the Seventh Circle of Hell. The entire inside, it was almost as if someone went in there with a spray cannon and just took the whole thing down. So much that the lid of the toilet had even been ripped off of the top of it.
Well, yeah, it's one of those things I'd assume that you're pretty much committed to puking at that point. And the minute you open the door, like, that's the thing in your body that just goes, oh, toilet. And yeah. then you can't make it. I remember one time we were doing a broadcast when we were doing afternoons, and we had done our really good idea drinking game that we were doing once a week.
Oh, yeah.
And then the next day, Winger were in.
Yep.
Red Beach was playing his solo. And my body went, uh-oh. And I got up during his solo, went into the bathroom. And it's good because it was like 5:30 at night. Like, everyone had left. And the minute that my mind saw the toilet.
Oh, yeah. It's the mental go-ahead.
It went, oh, you don't need to make it there.
Right.
You're almost there. Yeah. Just, here we go. Just release. And that's what I imagine happens. Like, you've been holding it in. You're like, oh.
Sure.
Because you're doing the responsible thing. Because how many people puke on the street? So you're doing the responsible thing, and you open up the door to the porta potty, and then the whole idea of the porta potty hits you.
Right. And probably like the air that's been cooking in there, so when you open it up, and it all just creates this.
Yeah, and why step into it? Like, you know, like, why not keep a fair distance away from going in? So I did see the picture, and I thought, I've been there. I understand what this person was, or people were doing.
Sure. But this was, I mean, it was one of those deals where that wasn't the only one. Like, I mean, you went to the next one, and it was, I mean, like, each one of them was just one atrocity was worse than the
next.
Those
are puke receptacles. Like, I mean, let's be honest.
Oh, yeah.
Like, they really would have to give people a break about urinating in public during that parade.
Well, I mean, this is the one day of year I said you should allow people to drink on the streets. But the one thing that made yesterday's parade even, I think, more of what could have been, I guess, a beautiful disaster is that for some reason they said, let's shorten the parade by about half.
Yes.
So what you did is you took the same amount of drunken idiots, but you put them in a more condensed spot, which, of course, makes things much more beautiful. The surroundings and the people in the bushes, it just makes that more plentiful for each one of the homes around there.
Right. And you're shortening the amount of actual businesses that people can go into and still be in the parade. So
just seemed like not the smartest of ideas.
We're getting over COVID, Rich. I mean, you can't just spread it all out. I mean, you got to jam it all in there. I mean, that was the plan, I would imagine.
Was it a COVID thing? I don't
I'm kidding.
I can't think of any other explanation as to why you would shorten the route of a parade when you know the same amount of people are going to go.
Okay, so the COVID thing is weird because, like, now I don't even think about wearing a mask, but my daughter has these, she has these softball pitching classes at 7 o'clock at night on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
In the Y, at the Y, but the Y is closed. So they've made a deal with the Y where they can use
just
the
for them, yeah.
And the Y just says, "We're gonna sweat you out," like, and then you have to wear a mask. I don't know why. I have no idea why, but for this you're required to wear a mask. I went in there and it was 100 degrees, and I'm like, "There's no, I'm not wearing a mask." No, Like it was drenched in sweat, like after the first 5 minutes.
My son had basketball in a place like that with masks where everyone was wearing them. And it was just, it's like you're just sucking in your own like hot sweat after a while.
I don't know why, what they do when the Y closes. And then there's like people that you know live there.
Mm-hmm. Oh, sure.
But they're like milling about and they're kind of pissed off.
Because you can, which I didn't know until recently. Like there's like places you can sleep at the Y, right?
Yeah, like there's like nooks and crannies of the Y that are not usually walked in where there are places for people to live. And you can tell the people are like, it's closed Sunday night, man. Like they're going into the locker room and stuff because if you live at the Y, it's kind of got a rule to point.
What is the standard for getting a place at the Y?
Well, I would imagine a lot of money. No.
You're like the Monopoly guy.
Yeah, I would imagine that you're like...
There's a lot of top hats in there.
Yeah, I got to imagine you know, it's 10 grand a month to stay.
because you got to think, if you were someone who didn't have a ton of money, I mean, as long as you didn't mind strangers being in your room with you... it wouldn't be the worst place. You have access to all that stuff.
Because I saw dudes going into like the locker room. So I'm like, you have this whole locker room to yourself. You have all this like workout equipment. I wonder if you just get like jacked because you're there like, you know.
Sure.
You're during the day. You got the whole gym to yourself. You got a whole basketball court.
We're like, how much does it cost? Like, what's the standard to getting in this place?
I'm going to guess it doesn't cost money. But it...
well, then... I don't know.
Or it's very, very cheap. Okay. Because if you go by the Village People... Because
that's the thing. Is the Village People just sound like a party. It's not like an orgy.
Well, the Village People, I think we're describing a gay party. Like a gay orgy.
Sure. That's
taking place at the Y. This is not the case at this particular Y, I don't think. But really, after hours, you have a mansion. Like after... I mean, you... Sure. You can, because now we're all fascinated, right? So you can see
the windows kind of looking down.
Right, right.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So when you leave, you can see, like, all right, that's like someone's living there. But yeah, like
you can run on the track at like 3 a.m.
It's not at the museum. I mean, anything go. I wonder if they have these like full on, like 3-on-3 basketball games, like at midnight.
The saunas and spas are, you know, they're hopping.
Don't need a sauna. When I tell you that gym was 100 degrees. They're like, wear a mask. Okay.
Has anyone ever lived at the YMCA? 617-779-0985. I would like to know.
Well, the YWCA, which I don't believe is there anymore, but remember when you got off at the Pru?
Yeah, there's a big building. It's in there's two right by the Pru.
Right.
There's one that's kind of over near Clarendon, and then there's one down the street over near where Berkeley is.
Okay, John lived at the Y for 2 years.
Wow.
John, hello.
Hello, boys. How are you? Love the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'll tell you this, so Northeastern has grown so much that they have basically run out of housing when I was there. And if you were like at the end of the housing lottery, you would live at the Y. And for 2 years, I did that, and I lived at the Y for 2 years. I can tell you that the amenities, not great.
Okay.
We used to do – I'm a big dude. I'm like 6'2". But we would do laundry in packs of like 4 or 5 people just because of what we would see, like people like strung out in the laundry area, stuff like that. It was pretty gnarly.
Well, good for Northeastern for really getting it together and putting you in a place with homeless people getting back on their feet.
Isn't Northeastern like 70 grand a year?
Oh yeah. It's yeah. I always thought like Northeastern because Adam 12 went there. I'm like, oh, it's got to be a crappy school. Yeah, it's like 60 grand to go there.
Oh, yeah.
And they're pumping you into the Y with a bunch of homeless people.
The selling point was that the rooms were solo, so you didn't have to have a roommate, and the rooms were slightly bigger, but you definitely paid for it. And the floors were basically caged off from other floors so that the locals couldn't come up with the college students.
Okay,
who are the other people that were there? Like, can you kind of tell me about the people who like weren't students who were living at the Y?
I would say before there was like halfway houses, I would think it was something like that. Like we would see people strung out for sure in the laundry room. Like everyone knew like you didn't do laundry past like 6 p.m.
Okay.
It just wasn't done.
Did you take girls back to the Y?
Yeah, definitely.
Come back to the Y. Hey, my guns.
It would be a hard selling point. And actually, I can remember one time when we were on break. I actually broke into my own dorm room. Like, everybody was gone kind of thing. And I remember being in the middle of Boston and not want to go to my parents' house or whatever and being all right, well, I'll take them back to the Y. And we ended up sneaking on the elevator and getting back up there. Actually, it worked out all right.
Yeah. If you had a friend who had an apartment party at the Y, that would have been awesome. I would have been what the Y? There's this, there's a keg party. All right, I'm in.
He's describing a downtown Y where I think that things are way more locked down than the Y I was at. You have a feeling that once you're in those residential areas, you're not getting out. But I can only imagine if I spent 60 grand for my kid to go to a college and they're sticking him at the Y for 2 years.
We get to live alone.
I'll take the roommate. Thanks. I don't know if I want to live at the Y.
Right. It's so one place you may have a roommate, but in the other place, you might have people who have criminal records living down the hall from you.
Right. And then you drive by BU and they have that beautiful high rise dorm and there's girls laying out on the grass.
All over Boston. There's all these amazing, so many great facilities, BU, BC.
And I think BU's easier to get into than Northeastern. Because I got into BU on that general studies program. It was not the real school, but yeah. It was they give you 2 years of general studies and then you get the real school envelops you. But I thought, I'm not going to school in the city. I'm there's no way.
That was interesting. We would have people who would just get we lived right next to basically where most of the, and you have to understand, in the city I grew up in, it wasn't crazy people, it was crackheads. People were at crack was a problem. So we would have actual people who were addicted to crack who busted into our place and you couldn't get them to leave. And you would try to get the RA, the guy who just got a discount on his housing, who was supposed to be the enforcer, and he wouldn't want to mess with these guys. What are you going to tell this guy to leave? No, he's freaking out and he's a wet cat in a bathtub. No way. So you would have to actually call police on a regular basis just to get these guys who somehow would follow a student into the building and just run in everyone's room and grab stuff and try to take it.
It's weird, too, because Georgia Tech has a campus.
Yeah, but it used to be directly across the street. I'm
familiar.
Techwood Homes was what it was called. Yeah,
I know. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, not a great area, but on the other side of it, too, because it's funny how on one side it was terrible and on the other side it's the city.
Yeah.
You got 4 years. Give yourself a campus. Just enjoy a campus.
I went to the Y
years.
My whole life. We could never stay there.
Oh, no, but you don't know about it. Well, the thing is, you don't know about it. I'm telling you.
Yeah, a lot of them have it.
You search for, I guarantee you at the Y, especially where you grew up.
A little bit of hype, but they had, there was cops and security. Maybe they were. Maybe they snuck through a hole. I don't know.
I guarantee you that there were parts of the Y that you never, or you maybe even did, but there was a floor that's half a floor that you didn't even know about where there was an apartment. I went to this Y for 10 years before I knew anyone worked there. And I have two kids that were there constantly. Mm-hmm. My son still goes all the time. And it took me being so bored that I went exploring to find the apartment building, where the area where it's do not enter. And I'm ooh.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm looking right now and there's applications for you to, oh my gosh, weekly rent at the YMCA. Yeah. Take a guess how much weekly rent is.
$100.
$115. Yeah. $115. With parking, $116. So you get a parking space for $1.
Yeah. Well, if you like heat, that's the place for you. I can't think of anything more miserable than a Sunday night from 7 to 8 sitting in a gym that's 150 degrees in it.
And you get a membership to the YMCA for that price. You get to use all the facilities.
We can play pickleball on Mondays. Yeah, sure, if it's West Suburban, you can play pickleball. Mm-hmm. All right, Rich, what's coming up?
Well, the Celtics continue to just steamroll the league's best teams.
All right, we will be back in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
More Toucher and Rich. And whatever this
so
is.
This son of Dan and Rick playing them nepotism.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Recapping what you missed is Toucher and Rich.
What happened last night?
All right, Rich. Johnny Wall game. You'll notice that Joe Murray's here today. That's because the Wall man was here probably till 10:30 last night.
Maybe even later than that.
Did the game go, because it was an 8 o'clock tip.
Yeah, it was pretty late. Yeah. I got to think that he got out of here probably closer to like 11, 15.
After I wrung out all my clothing from sweat, I went to bed at 9, so I don't know.
Well, the Celtics, they went toe-to-toe with the league's leading candidate for MVP and blew his team out of the water.
Brown behind the screen, Brown Hart to the basket, throws it down right-handed.
And I got your Joker right here. He didn't even jump in.
Okay.
Well, all right.
Thank you very much, Cedric Maxwell and John Wallach. Miles apart from each other. This is all happening so fast. The Celtics have gone from the, hey, maybe these guys can hang with good teams, to throttling the best teams in the league, and they just beat Golden State by 22, and last night embarrassed the Nuggets 124-104. Goal number one was to slow down the human bag of potatoes that is Nikola Jokic, and they did, holding him to only 8-for-23. At the same time, the offense has been about as good as it's been all year.
Grant Williams, left corner, outside now. It's Smart.
Oh!
Pocket pass, Tatum flies through the air, flushes it down with the right hand. Celtics by 21.
Oh, my goodness. Nikola, who? Jokic, what? Whose mama said what to me? Dang.
Okay.
And that is the analysis right there that you pay for.
His numbers retired in the rafters.
He flies with the team and sits down in a suit and puts on those headphones. And that's what you get. You get good stuff.
Yep. You get... I wonder how many different plays that Jokic wasn't involved in did he end up yelling Jokic's name. Because I just heard two right there where he said Jokic, Jokic, Jokic. I don't think he dunked on Jokic because I saw that play. I don't believe he did.
All right. Let me tell you this.
Maybe I'm wrong.
What happened last night is brought to you by Mohegan Sun FanDuel Sportsbook. Bet on all the college and pro sports you want. Good luck to you if you're betting in the tournament. In person now at Mohegan Sun. Must be 21 or over. Visit to MohiganSun.com for info.
57% from the field last night and 19 three-pointers going on a 24-2 second quarter run.
Machi.
Oh, that was just about as fun as I've seen this guy's play in a while. The Celtics continue to dominate both sides of the ball. Tatum and Jaylen Brown combined for 60 points. They scored 30 apiece for the second consecutive game. And the new king of the fourth showed up once again.
Rebound on a bounce. There's Grant Williams to the corner. Pritchard for three. Count it.
That dude's been money, man. That's more money, more money, more money.
That is a 1993 reference, maybe?
Was that a Wayans brother joint?
I think that might have been something straight from In Living Color, I believe.
Mo' money, mo' money, mo' money.
Mm-hmm. Well, I saw someone with a Peyton Pritchard jersey, by the way, in downtown yesterday, and I actually checked to see if it was Peyton Pritchard himself.
Yeah.
I didn't know if you could buy that.
It was a young African-American man walking around with a Peyton Pritchard jersey.
I would say that's not an accurate description of who it was. Peyton Pritchard, once again, perfect from the field, 17 points on 6 of 6 shooting, 5 of 5 from deep. And they just keep on winning. The Celtics are now 21-4 since the end of January, a season-high 16 games over 500, and now tied with Philly for third in the Eastern Conference. They basically have their own destiny ahead of them to get to second. So Sean Grady, the stat man, he was at it last night. He's feeling the high from everybody, you know, of course, praising him on Twitter, saying, hey, you're better than Gorman, and then him retweeting it.
Is he doing that?
No, he did that a while back. He did not do it this time. Remember we told Gorman about that?
No, I shamed him. I shamed him quite a bit.
No, he did not do that last night.
I would hope not.
No, he didn't. But Grady did do a good job. He's no Gorman. Want to hear some Grady stats, though? Yeah. Throughout us? He goes, first of all, Jason Tatum will enter tonight's game at OKC, just 6 points behind DeMar DeRozan for the NBA scoring lead.
Wow.
So there's only one player in the NBA that is scoring more than Jason Tatum this season. Second, Jason Tatum leads the NBA in plus-minus right now. And both Smart and Jaylen Brown also in the top 10. And here we go, Fred. It's our version of DVOA. According to the 538 projections, which I know you love Nate Silver and his 538.
Okay.
The Celtics' chances to win the NBA championship are 9% better than anyone else in the league. According to the website, the Celtics have a 27% chance of winning the finals. Behind them, the Suns at 18%, the Bucks at 15%, Nuggets at 9%, Heat at 9%, and the Jazz at 7%. That's amazing that the Heat are that far down, seeing that they have been so good all year long.
I hate it. I hate when they do that. Just enjoy the run.
Sure.
I mean, it doesn't. The playoffs are a different beast, but this team can't do anything better than it is right now.
Well, this run's different, though. Like, Jason Tatum and Brown are putting up 30 points every night.
It's a great run, and I'm not taking anything away from it. It's just when Rich reads these things that happen during the regular season, it's the same thing with the Patriots. Is the Patriots, you know, won a bunch of games in a row, and then you go, all right, this is great, but they still got a lot more to play. And then, you know, everything comes back down to earth. Now, I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm just saying 538 is worthless.
No, 538 is worthless, and we've learned that before. But there you go. If you like stats and figures, and if you're...
Who's going to beat this team at this point? Like, who can't they beat?
They'd probably beat anybody.
That's how I feel right now. Like, the only... And this isn't a complaint, but they're blowing everybody out. So when they play a close game, they struggle. When they...
The Nets was a close game.
And, yeah, and Tatum. Had a coming out party, really.
Well, let's look at Philadelphia. Is that you got James Harden, who you know is going to shrink at any kind of pressure
any kind
situation.
Of important game? He's out.
Embiid gets tired in games.
Yep.
I'm not overly concerned about Chicago. Milwaukee's a good team, but you know
the Heat's had their number, but they're due.
The Heat and Milwaukee are two teams that are probably an equal matchup.
You know who might win Sixth Man of the Year, Fred? Tyler Herro.
Yeah,
as frustrating as that is, he has been really, really good, and that team has got a great coach as well.
Yes,
I mean, that's their edge. But now, all of this stuff is all well and good. But Fred, the true news last night is that the Celtics, their own Magic the Gathering playing resident nerd Grant Williams, reportedly wants everyone to call him a new nickname.
Oh, it's going to be cool.
Would you like to guess?
The Wizard. Oh boy, the Bilbo Baggins.
You're sniffing.
I don't know enough about science fiction. Gandalf.
Just get a lot more unoriginal. Let's let this play. Here is Jaylen Brown after the game talking about Grant Williams.
Grant did a great job. He wanted me to tell the media he wanted his nickname to be Batman. Now, I said, I don't know about that one, Grant. But if you play like you play today, you know, I might give you a Frank Lucas or something like that. So Grant held it down on defense. I'm proud of him.
Okay. So he wants to be called Batman. I have no idea why he wants to be called Batman. Probably because he just saw Batman and thought Batman was cool, so call me Batman.
Ding, 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 ding.
Then Jason Tatum was told at his press conference that Grant Williams wanted to be called Batman. I believe it might have been Abby Chin who informed him of that. Let's take a listen.
I told Jaylen.
He wants his nickname to be Batman.
Grant wants his nickname to be...
Grant Williams.
Who's that? Grant, I can't understand why Grant would want to be called Batman. I'm sure I'm going to ask him when I get on the bus. But Grant played great tonight. But I'm going to call him Grant, not call him no damn Batman.
The world's greatest detective. They finally got back to it in this movie. Focusing on his intuition and detective skills. Call me Batman. When I, right after I left my town I grew up in, there was a kid with vitiligo who was really good at football, but he had like a mask, like a vitiligo, and they called him Batman, like in the paper.
Oh, shit. That's kind of awful.
I guess he liked it. I guess.
But why? I just... if you could have seen Jason Tatum, because Jason Tatum is fairly like mellow and doesn't show a ton of personality. But when he was told by Abby Chin that Grant Williams wanted to be called Batman, like, he truly was like taken aback. Like, there's no way he said that.
Yeah.
He went, Batman.
Someone starts just like, what's wrong with that? Batman, yeah.
Oh, Grant Williams is just the coolest dude in the locker room.
I have a feeling because he like comes off the bench and they call upon him, maybe he feels like they give the bat signal.
You
know, like here he comes off the bench.
Are thinking way further than Grant Williams did.
I have a feeling guys in the NBA get screeners and that he's on that plane watching Batman over and over again.
That's what it was. Like, I just saw Batman. Batman's cool. Call me Batman. That is, I guarantee you that's the thinking. Because he comes off the
bench.
They're
not comics or graphic novels.
You would think so. Well, only 10 games left in the regular season. The final game of the road trip is tonight in Oklahoma City. It's basically first in every category versus last in every category. Oklahoma City could not be a worse team if they tried.
And I think their best player didn't play last night. No. These are back-to-back. This is a back-to-back for Oklahoma City, too, I believe. Yeah, and Grandy is flying into Oklahoma City.
Okay.
Specifically to do that game, much to the chagrin of one Johnny Wall game.
So is Gorman back? Is Gorman back on TV?
I don't know.
Yeah, I bet that he's not doing that. Well, I guess Wallach's not doing the radio tonight, so yeah, I guess you're right. Yeah, interesting.
I don't know who's doing television. I can tell you Gorman's not flying to Oklahoma City.
I know what it is. I think I saw him tease it last night. I believe Kendrick Perkins is going to be with Scal. I think Scal's doing the play-by-play. They teased that Kendrick Perkins is going to be back.
A disaster.
I've heard him do it before. It's actually not awful because it's a game that it's Oklahoma City. Who cares?
Perk played for Oklahoma City. Maybe they want... Yeah.
That might be the case. But, you know, when Perk's on there, it's entertaining. What, tip-off is at 8 p.m. tonight? So there you go. Celtics they can't be doing anything better than what they're doing.
Absolutely. There's no question about it.
Mm-hmm.
Just Nate Silver starts poking his head around, and you go, ugh. It's why there's a playoff, man.
Mm-hmm.
This isn't the Showtime era Lakers. Like, let's relax.
Oh, hang on. Someone said the rumor is because he shut down Jokic, the Joker.
Oh,
gross.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah, they should. Oh, let them play in the finals.
No, don't get cocky, man.
Oh, let them play in the finals.
Don't get cocky, kid.
Jokic, get him motivated, Jokic, and just go, Grant, you got Jokic for the game. Jokic will go for 100.
Hate to break it to you, Grant, but Jokic's two brothers are basically Bane and Pain.
Just going
to
say
and
that.
They will kick your ass all over the place.
He's about 4 inches taller than you. He's probably got 100 pounds on you, and he's twice the skill set. So have fun with that. The Celtics are great. No complaints.
Grant, you got to calm
down. You think you're shutting down Jokic over any stretch of time? It's the NBA, man. Jokic, for all I know, decided not to play last night.
I mean, they looked great against him last night.
But we don't know if Jokic was like, this is the game I, half-assed. I mean, you don't know what's going on. One game. Now, the thing is that this isn't against the Celtics. The Celtics have strung a bunch of games together, so you can't, run on that.
Yeah.
But you shut a guy, Grant Williams, a motivated Jokic. What's the triple-double? It's like 60-30. With 15 blocks?
It was pretty funny. That's the first game in, I think, 26-game streak that Jokic had a double-double. And then yesterday, all because of Grant Williams, getting out there, taking care of business. Well, if that's the reason, that's hysterical.
Oh, boy.
Even Jaylen Brown is just like, all right, man.
He probably figures they're not going to play again. So, all right. When we come back, Rich, what will we have?
Two teams in town opening up the checkbooks. Good signings by, I know, at least one of them.
Yeah. One of them comes with kind of an asterisk. And I was reading about the Bruins signing, and it was getting into micro statistics, something called micro statistics.
Oh, Nate Silver, be proud of you, Fred.
Well, I stopped reading. I couldn't understand it. They were wary of it because of micro stats. But the Red Sox one, if you're a fan of guys sticking around, might be the best news in the world. We'll be right back. Hear that, Lance.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Now,
that's hard on the ears.
More Toucher and Rich.
Ooh, that gets your back hair going.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oof, I don't care for that at all.
Hey, table, table. All right, Rich. Moves by some teams in town over
yes,
the weekend.
Yes, that's right. Chaim Bloom and the Red Sox finally open up their wallets.
And Trevor hits this straight away, and this one is gone. Tie ball game. 22nd of the year for Story. A blast to dead central. He's got four hits on this road trip. Three homers and a triple. That ball was crushed.
It is the Sox's biggest free agent signing since 2015. Trevor Story gets a six-year, $140 million contract. And despite being a shortstop his entire major league career, that slot is full right now with a man by the name of Xander Bogaerts.
And by the way, Trevor Story is like five times the defensive player that Bogaerts is. So you're acquiescing to Bogaerts at the expense of your defense. So...
Well,
just keep that in mind.
Does this say anything to you about the long-term plan for Xander Bogaerts?
Well, let's put it this way. Their best prospect by far is the shortstop. They've signed the shortstop to a long-term deal.
They drafted Nick York, who's a second baseman who could be ready to go soon.
So they're not extending Bogaerts.
Well, at 29 years old, Story brings some power to the lineup. He hit 37 homers in 2018, 35 in 19, 11 during the pandemic-shortened 20 season, and 24 in 2021. He also is tied for 14th in the majors in steals last season with 20, which will obviously be a welcome thing to this team. So what's your take on this? I mean, you obviously know more about this guy. He's been playing in Colorado all this time, and apparently that's a hitter's ballpark. So
well, the thing on him is his splits outside of Colorado don't look great. Apparently his swing and miss rate is much higher on the road. He's got to adjust to breaking stuff outside of Colorado, which is so funny how it's not like even how much the ball carries in Colorado. It's how pitches break in Colorado. And like, I guess it's different.
Yeah.
And when you're that good and that precise, there's a difference to it. So he has to get used to that. I mean, he's got, Jimmy, he's got raw power. I wanted the Cardinals to sign him, but I wanted the Cardinals to sign him to play shortstop, and because they haven't had a shortstop since Renteria. So I think it's a good signing, but it just means if you're a Bogaerts fan that Bogaerts is gone.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, it's a good signing, right? You look at the whole entire team, the lineup, it's a fit. Playing second base, he's an athlete. I'm sure he can probably adjust.
Oh, he can play second base. It's just he's a better shortstop by a lot than Bogaerts.
It's the Bogaerts thing. Bogaerts... I know that Story has more home runs. Bogaerts, I think, a better player. In my opinion, long term, Bogaerts has been a better player. This guy strikes out almost 200 times a year. I mean, it's not a knock. Like, I'm glad they spent the money. I just don't like to rattle the cage of Bogaerts. And now you have to look at it. This is it for JD Martinez. Like, this is it. You probably have to make a decision on Devers. Like, do you want to keep Bogaerts and move him to third? You know, to move Devers.
No,
to DH?
They'll keep Devers. They're going to keep Devers.
No, they're keeping Devers. I'm just saying that. You want to keep Bogaerts. Like, this is a guy you developed who's getting better every single year.
What's right now? Does he have a year left?
Yeah, this is last year.
So he's got his last year before the opt-out.
He's going to opt out after this year.
He's going to get like 28 million.
I was about to say, like, what is the market set right now for Correa. His position? Because, well, Correa got only like, what, 3 years? Like 103. He wanted a mega contract. He wanted that big. Matter of fact, his agents for a while were floating this like $300 million thing out there. He didn't get anywhere near that.
Was for Correa, 30?
He got like $105 million for 3 years, I think, up in the Minnesota.
I believe Correa is 30. I know Renteria.
Bogaerts is younger than Story, too. I think a year or whatever, but still, he's younger.
Oh, Correa is 27. Oh, my bad. All right. So, it's Story's got to adjust to hitting outside of Colorado and for the reasons that I said. And also, if you're a fan, like Jim said, of, you know, keeping talent, developing it, this, and, you know, keeping him around, this is kind of sad because it is the end of Bogarts. They just got too much at the position.
Yeah. Well, also on top of that, finally the Bruins open up their checkbooks.
Oh, I got info on this guy.
Well, they got some much-needed defensive help. 28-year-old Hampus Lindholm from Anaheim. He is headed to the Bees with a deal that's going to pay him $52 million over 8 years. In return, the Bruins will send the Ducks a first-round draft pick this year and second-rounders in 23 and 24. Also, Boston sent John Moore and Urho Vaakanainen over to Anaheim as well. So, Hampus, he was the number 6 overall pick in the 12 draft. And this year, he had 5 goals, 17 assists in 61 games, 6'4", 216 pounds. I saw Fluto just gushing over his ice time, averaging 2.5 minutes per game, which has not been seen by a Boston defenseman since Zdeno Chara back in 17. He'll either be paired with McAvoy or Carlo on the first or second line. We'll see what Cassidy likes. But the team already seems excited about the signing. Here is Don Sweeney yesterday.
I mean, obviously some teams were aggressive. You know, Calgary got out in front of some of the things they were doing. I don't know if I would call. We gave up a lot for Hampus, so I wouldn't say it's reasonable. I think we met what the ask was in order to acquire the play that we were looking for, and that's generally what drives the deals.
And Cassidy already seems excited to get him going.
Yeah, he was in today, will not travel, so he's out for Montreal. Be reevaluated later in the week, so I'd put him as a possibility for the home game Thursday, but it's not for sure.
And according to Fluto Shinzawa, this may not be the last of the Bruins' moves.
On how they move salary around and stuff like that, yeah.
It is interesting because the trade deadline is this afternoon, and Fluto believes it's an indication, as you said, like debt clearing for another acquisition. The next one, he's saying, will be up front. The Bruins obviously need a number 2 center to play with Taylor Hall. Pasternak, the Jake DeBrusque thing is going to be interesting as well. If they end up getting rid of him, that's a hole to fill. But we'll see by this afternoon where the plan is going forward. So tell me about some of these micro stats that you have heard about this.
He's very old. So, I mean, you have to put that into perspective. Like, the guy's 28 years old.
29, yeah.
And so they're saying that in his micro statistics, they have been dipping throughout the last few years. I don't understand any of the micro statistics. Don't ask me what they are. And then, but the defense of it is that he's been playing alongside a rookie, a very talented rookie.
Yeah.
But he's been playing alongside a rookie.
It's so, like 20, right? This kid that he's been playing
19,
with?
19, I think. Wow. And if you put him next to McAvoy, who's like, you know, 1,000 times the defenseman, that is going to really improve things. And the deal is this. Is that and so the problem they say is that when you no one gave I have not seen a trade grade that gave the Bruins a better grade than they gave Anaheim, but the thing and one of the reasons is that this is a second tier playoff team. You gave up a bunch of the future to sign this guy for a long time. However, Fluto's right, they haven't had a left shot defenseman of any kind.
And they suck at drafting.
Yeah, and the thing is that now, I mean, you really shouldn't be able to push them around now in the playoffs. And this guy's making about what Krug signed for. Mm-hmm. So now in the playoffs, if you face a Islander type team, I know the Islanders you're not going to face them, but if you face an Islanders type team, that they won't just be able to beat your left side of your defense up like they did. So
he'll help with those late in game struggles they've had as well when he's on the ice.
Absolutely. You know? So, I mean, they had to get a left shot defenseman. They gave up what they didn't want to give up, which was this year's first round pick. But if you're going to take a crack at it, and also because you signed him for a long time, this kind of is a bridge, you would guess, into the next generation. This is the McAvoy, Swayman, Pasternak group that is going to continue into the next generation.
They also fill their number one need, and it's been their number one need for a long time.
Yes. So you got to be glad they made the trade. I'm not overly concerned with the micro statistics.
They gave up a lot, though.
They gave up a lot, and they gave up, you know, they didn't want to give it up. They didn't want to give up that first-round pick. Now, if they want to get a second-line center, now you're talking about giving up one of those two prospects that you have. They literally have apparently two prospects that have any shot of being anything other than journeyman NHL players.
They're both supposed to be pretty good, right? Like, yes. I think they're both, like, it's not just they have two that are worth trading. They're two that are coveted, I believe.
Yeah, you have two coveted prospects, two prospects that could make noise in the NHL. The rest of your prospects are just guys that could fill a uniform. So we'll see what they do. If they do trade one of those prospects, the pressure's on. The pressure is on to win now. Because you've gone all in. And if that's the way you want them to go, then you can't insult Sweeney at all. I told Nick to get Diet Cokes, and he just went out and he went out and got some Diet DC.
Nick's getting off the elevator with Diet Cokes.
Hell yeah, he is.
Did he get? He got like...
Enough for like one show.
Yeah. Considering everybody else likes...
12-packs.
Six 12-packs. Everybody else likes Fred's Diet Cokes because they're free.
Yeah, that's right. I should start my own business.
Start your own market.
Real quick, with this Lindholm deal, do you think this kind of helps Sweeney, like, stick around? Because he's building towards the future a little bit and trying to help.
It was a good move. I mean, it was expensive, but it's what they needed.
But, like, you should question him a little bit. His draft sucked.
I question Sweeney. His offseason sucked. So I question Sweeney, of course. He had three first-round picks, and he didn't do anything with them.
I've been calling you Jim.
Did I call you Jim?
Maybe once you did, but it's fine.
It's like I wish I got to know you better. It's like, you know, we never spend any time together.
That's what a lot of people do when they meet me. They big time. Met a couple of people. That's what I'm trying to do. Is big time.
I'm bringing.
I was
you
like,
into
yeah, cool. Yeah, yeah.
No, Joe. If I called you Jim, I apologize.
We are the Brain Fart Morning Show. Like that happens.
I got engaged in the Mondays. What can I tell you, Joe? I apologize. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.